This morning, our scripture is taken out of Matthew 13, verse 44. And you may say, that's not where you find the nativity story. But I want us to stop and think about what happened with the nativity story and why this will relate as we look at this scripture. The nativity story tells us that he will be a joy and a delight to you. That's what the angel said to the shepherds. A joy and a delight, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Stop and think about what the shepherds did when they received this news. They said, let's go and see this thing that has happened. Let's go and see. I want us to stop and start thinking about how every time Jesus touches a life, there is a response that goes with it. There's a response. The woman at the well, she responded to Jesus and she said, let me go tell the others. When Moses turned aside to the burning bush, he stopped because he saw the burning bush and he turned aside. And then when he heard the voice saying, take off your shoes. You know, so many times I think if I'd been there, I can see that if I saw a bush burning and hearing a voice, I don't know if I'd have been standing there very long. But Moses knew. Somehow God makes himself known. So I want us to realize as the angels came, can you imagine what the shepherds first thought? Their first thought was, uh-oh, something bad's going to happen. Look at these, the glory shining all around them. You know, one angel came and he starts sharing this message. And the shepherds were first afraid. We know that because the angel said, fear not, fear not. You know, Scripture says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of good mind. You know, so let's remember that many times our first initial response to even things that God might send might be fear. I think we probably have very much in common with the shepherds who were standing there never having seen an angel. I want you to really get in your mind, God has been quiet now for a number of years. They have all the prophets where they heard all of the miracles, they heard all about Moses, but they had been living in a time when they had not heard God's voice. And then, for an angel to come to them. Now, I want you to realize the angel is so tied up in all of this. And I want us to realize that the angels are still tied up today in our lives. It says that the angels are ministering to the believers. So guys, you've got angels around you. Now, I keep thinking that I would love for the day that my sight will be open and I would actually see the angel. But I know they are there. They're ministering. That's what we're told in Scripture. And how many angels came to minister so that God's plan could be brought forth? We start with John the Baptist's father in the temple. Angel number one appeared. We move on. Angel comes to Mary. Says the Holy Spirit is going to give you a child. Angel number three comes to Joseph. Joseph, don't divorce Mary. Go ahead and marry her. Angel number four comes to the shepherds. And then a multitude of angels. Now, if I wasn't scared with one angel, when a multitude showed up, I probably would have been down on my knees because I would have knew God Almighty was in this. Down on my knees, maybe flat on my face. And the shepherds were touched and they got up and they went. They got up and they went. All right, so I've laid the scripture. Now let's, the nativity part of it. Now let's move on to Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And I want you, if you have the scriptures that have the headings, Just to look at some of the headings around there, we see that Jesus was in the middle of teaching. He'd done several parables, the parable of the sower. He'd done the parable of the wheat and tares. He'd done the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven. And then he keeps explaining all of that. And then he comes to this one, a buried treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. When the man hath found, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. I'd like to go ahead to the next one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. All right. Kingdom of heaven. I want us to stop and think about this for a moment. The kingdom of heaven is both now and in the future. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That expression meant it's here. It's right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And these parables are talking about the kingdom of heaven. And it's in all of this group of parables trying to express to people several things they need to realize. And as I read about this story, there was something that just clicked today that made me realize that we need to stop and think about this parable a little more. You see, it says that he saw the treasure. He didn't have the treasure, did he? He saw it. But when he saw it, he wanted that treasure. So he sold everything that he had. Everything. Now, obviously, if he's going to buy another field, he must have had some things to be able to sell. How many of us get attached to things? I know that I get attached to things. There are things that I have. And one week I brought this box of mementos that I have kept, the receipts of my wife's diamond engagement ring. I have that receipt because that was a big thing for me. I was so excited that at 25 I was getting engaged and going to be married. You know, and so I've kept that. Of course, she's kept the ring. You can look. It's still there. And I have the receipts for our wedding bands. It's funny what I've stuck in there. I have some receipts from Disney World. I have different things that have been special. And we get attached to them. And I would hate to lose that box. It would, you know, and yes, if we ever had a fire, that I wouldn't go and grab that box before I grabbed anything else. Because what I would make sure is that every person was out, because they are my deepest treasure. But then we get attached to things. This week we had a little catastrophe at our house. We have a shelf that Darwin and Becky had given us. And I am such a master carpenter. Just wonderful. And I didn't have it up solidly enough, and my wife was putting up one of the Christmas items that we have had for how many years, darling? 30 years. It's a little crystal, hand-blown crystal tree that has these little glass ornaments that hang on it. And guess what happened? That shelf came down, and the tree went crash. Also on that tree, something that is very special to me is a nativity that was made in the Dominican Republic. In the Dominican Republic, they don't put faces on any of their dolls, because that, in their understanding, that would be making an idol. They can make the dolls, but they don't put the faces on it. So this nativity has Joseph and Mary, an angel, and the baby Jesus and the manger. No faces at all. Very simply made. It was on that shelf. Down it went. The manger was savable. The tree was smashed to bits. And I watched both Lan and I work through that was just a thing. We get attached to things. And I hope that we're attached more to what God wants us to be attached to. And so that's one of the things that I saw in this, is that Sometimes we can get attached to things. But this man who saw the great treasure, he saw that it was worth more than all these other things that he had. He was willing to give up everything so he could have the greatest treasure. So let's think for a moment. Because during this time that we celebrate Advent, there are a lot of things going on. Those of us who have had kids, there's always school choir presentations and so forth and so on. The time can get really busy. There's the Christmas parties. And the thing is that for the world, you don't hear about the real reason that we're celebrating at all. Last Sabbath, we went to celebrate, last Sabbath night, we went to celebrate Ava's birthday. And she had chosen to ride the Santa train down in Nelsonville. And it's an hour long, 2 hour long train ride. And Santa comes through and sees all of the kids during that train ride. And so that's what she wanted to do for her birthday. So we went and we did that. And the whole family, all of us together, Jamie and Marissa and Christopher and all of his kids. So, and then Grandma and Great Aunt and so forth. So we had a great time. But what I want us to realize is, as we started singing carols. What carols did we sing? All the secular ones. Why? Because we were in a secular setting. Things can push Jesus out, and we have to make sure that we have not allowed that in our lives. Now, I don't believe that anything that we did was wrong, but if it takes away from the time that we spend with Jesus, if it makes it so we can't spend our time with Jesus, then we better stop and say, I have a priority. So I'm simply saying that because in that setting, we couldn't bring Jesus out because they didn't know the Christian songs, the Silent Night, and so forth and so on. But they knew all the Frosties and Santa and so forth and so on. I want us to stop and think about how the kingdom of heaven is truly the treasure that all of us should be making sure that we're seeking after. That at all times, not just during the time of Advent, but at all times we're making sure that our life is filled with the kingdom of heaven, the greatest treasure. And that treasure includes a walking, talking relationship with our Lord. So, as I thought about that treasure, I thought, are there things that I have allowed to push their way in that aren't as important? Things that I should say no to so that I can make sure that I have the time to spend with my Lord. You know, as a grandfather, it's really a little easier than when you've got your kids growing up because you do have some more time. It's been interesting because Christopher and Veronica lived with us for 3 years and their kids. And during that time, our lives were absolutely crazy. It was like I'd gone back to having kids again. And in many ways I had, but they weren't my kids. But after they've moved out, our whole life has changed in its pace. Now, am I still busy? Yes. We still have the kids come to the house to babysit. That's one thing that Lana always wanted to do, was be able to take care of her grandkids. Well, the Lord's blessed her with that. The whole time that she was raising our kids, she says, I want to be able to take care of my grandchildren when they come along. Well, guess what? She's taking care of her grandchildren. And now she's thinking, why did I ever want that? No. There are days that probably... But this morning, as we think of the joy that we receive, for me, the Christmas time is a great season of joy because of the great love, because of all that I have received through that. This manger scene was actually my parents' manger scene. It was given to them by a church, a Baptist church, I believe, in Honeyville, New York, when he was serving the Seventh-day Baptist Church as pastor, and that church as pastor, and another one out further in the country. He served three different churches. But they gave this to him. And so it's been in our family for all these years, and it is special. When things like this happen, sometimes it can bring you down. But we need to remember Jesus is still there. We need to remember that a broken cow doesn't stop the story of Jesus. It doesn't stop the reason that we're celebrating. So when those hiccups come into our lives, those rough spots, we need to stop and say, the kingdom of heaven is right here. And I'm living in it. And I'm going to continue to live in it. And I'm going to receive the joy because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for your word. I ask, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts and let us receive your love and all that you want to give to us so that we will experience the kingdom of heaven that is right here, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.